This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But right now, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, and you can read all of his fine work at BrownsZone.com. BrownsZone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
We just had a spirited debate about baseball rules, so I'm ready to move on to something that makes a little more sense. That would be you. Congratulations.
Oh, great.
Isn't that nice news?
It is.
Yeah, that's
it
what
is.
I thought.
How can I help?
First of all, let me go this one with you. On CBS Sports, Dave Richard is one of their fantasy football guys, and he's on with Adam and Dustin quite often. And his headline says, "Fantasy football ranking the best destinations for Antonio Brown." Now, I know that's a fantasy football headline, and his top five teams, Indianapolis, imagine that with Andrew Luck, San Francisco, Green Bay, Philadelphia, New Orleans. And then it says, what about Antonio Brown with, and then he fills in a team and says a few things. And down at the bottom, it says Antonio Brown with the Cleveland Browns. And then he says this, honestly, Cleveland should try to outbid everyone for Brown and challenge the Steelers' mandate to keep him out of the AFC North. They'd be an unreal landing spot for him. First of all, I agree with him. Think about that. Second of all, is there any way the Steelers trade him to the Ravens, the Bengals, or the Browns? I can't imagine it.
Me neither. And that was when this whole saga with Antonio was just getting going, and Mr. Rooney was asked about it, and that's one of the first things he said, was that I'm not trading him inside the division. And we know the Browns-Steelers trade history. It had been, I don't know, 45 years or something, and then Joe Banner made the one draft day trade, and that's, you know, and then there's, I guess, the Joe Hayden trade a little bit ago. But, you know, this one is just so significant that I can't see the Steelers being willing to do that, especially a team that they have to consider is nipping at their heels. And you would give them arguably the best receiver in the league. I just can't imagine that. You know, and I think it's a different discussion whether or not Antonio Brown's worth the trouble and you'd have to pay him a ton of money and you already have Jarvis getting a lot of money. But I think it stops with the fact that the Steelers aren't going to trade him here. And I'd be stunned if they traded him to a team that they considered a contender inside the conference. Like, I don't think he's going to New England, because you just can't trade a guy with that much talent and then watch him come back and keep you from going to the Super Bowl.
I agree with you on that. Let me ask you this, though. If you're John Dorsey and you want to bring in a veteran wide receiver and a good one, not just a, you know, a guy who's been around, but a really top-notch guy, are you more inclined to try to get Odell Beckham Jr. or Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown's a better player, or has been a better player, just the numbers, the longevity. So I would lean there. The OBJ, Jarvis Landry connection, I think is appealing and intriguing, and think, okay, we saw what they did together at LSU. I think they'd be great together. I think it'd be great for kind of the personality of the locker room. So I see good sides to both guys, but I've just seen Antonio Brown be so good so consistently that, you know, I mean, when he's got his head on, he plays like the best receiver in the league. And I know Beckham shows flashes, but hasn't done it nearly as consistently as Brown has.
Hey, Scott, what's on your free agent wish list?
You know what? It starts for me with defensive end. And I think defensive tackle is an overall bigger need. I think they need a playmaking defensive tackle to line up next to Larry Ogunjobi. But I think you find that guy in the draft. And I think this is the draft. If you need a defensive tackle, there's a ton of them out there. And for me, I want to see a defensive end that's got some experience and can come in and not only compliment Myles Garrett on the other side, but help mentor him and teach him and, you know, help him take that next step. And there's a bunch of candidates out there. I don't think guys like, you know, Lawrence from Dallas and Jadeveon Clowney, those guys I think are going to be Ford. I think they're all going to get franchise tag, and they're not going to hit the market. But a guy like Brandon Graham from the Eagles really intrigues me. Even an older guy like Terrell Suggs or Cameron Wake, guys who you don't even have to play a ton because you have Emmanuel Agnew, you have Gerard Avery, you have Chad Thomas who hardly played at all last year, but a guy that can come in and you ask him to rush maybe 15 times a game and you get maximum effort, you get leadership, you get experience. Those are the kind of guys that I'm looking at. And then receiver. You know, I don't expect them to get Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr., but maybe Tyrell Williams of the Chargers. You know, that's a guy that I think is a different body type than what the Browns have.
That's true.
And I would throw linebacker into that group. If you decide to make a change with Jamie Collins, then maybe you go get a guy like Anthony Barr from Minnesota. You know, so defensive end, receiver, linebacker are kind of the three areas I think I target first.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. The Colin Kaepernick thing has been settled, all right? What happens now? Do teams line up to sign Colin? Does his agent start begging teams for an opportunity? I mean, the guy's clearly good enough to play in the NFL. Whether he wants to for what teams want to pay him is another question, and whether teams want to bring him in to be a backup quarterback, as they always say, backup quarterback should bring no issues with them. If Colin is a backup quarterback, just being on your team is an issue because of his notoriety. But where does this go now, Scott?
I would think that the settlement kind of clears out a lot of the extraneous hurdles that have been keeping Colin out of the league. And that's on both sides. You know, he was holding out for a lot of money. And then, you know, we don't know the exact amount of the deal. But let's assume he got, you know, a reasonable settlement. Then that's off the table. I think teams now feel like, all right, this is, you know, this the legal part of it's been taken care of. Now we can go back to just football. And like you mentioned, he belongs in the league as a player. Now we can argue whether or not he should get a chance to start, where he fits in the, you know, top 32 quarterbacks, but he belongs in the league at some level. And I think the time and the lawsuit enable this to happen, and I think he needs to be a little bit humble and say, okay, you know, what are the opportunities out there? And I think his agent has stated that he wants to play in the league again. And I think there will be, you know, I don't know if it's 1, 2, 5, 8 teams that say, you know what, he's going to help our team. And if we need him to come in and start, like, he's that kind of quarterback where if you need him to start for 5, 6 games, you can consider yourself having a good chance to win those games, kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of quarterback. And that's if you don't view him as a starter, he's that next level guy. So I think there will be a team bold enough to go ahead and make that move. And, you know, now it's got to happen. It's got to happen so he can be in camp with the team when the offseason program starts in April, because he doesn't need another obstacle to keep him from getting on a roster. It needs to happen. And hopefully the lawsuit, you know, went far enough allow both sides to do that.
So while the drama train is already stopping in Cleveland for one player, would it be willing to stop for two as a backup?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. He's a different quarterback than Baker is. You know, Baker is a drop back in the pocket. I think you'd have to design your offense differently. And I do think that limits the number of teams that would have interest in Kaepernick. I think if Tyrod Taylor was your starter, you know, I mean, you can argue which quarterback's better. You know, I think a lot of people would say Kaepernick's better than Tyrod Taylor, but they have similar styles. If you had Lamar Jackson, you know, to me, it makes a whole lot of sense for the Ravens. You know, Greg Roman was with Kaepernick in San Francisco. He's trying to bring up Lamar Jackson in that kind of system where you have the read option. And we saw it, you know, in the finale when they beat the Browns. So I think that type of team and that type of system makes sense. You kind of have to match up with your starting quarterback, and I just don't think it's a perfect fit with Baker and Freddie's system.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, what have you thought about the alliance so far, the AAF, and maybe more importantly, the $250 million deal that they just picked up from the guy who owns the Hurricanes in the NHL, with him coming in and adding some money to the whole mix.
Well, that should keep it viable for a while, so I think that's good. I think the longer they stay around, the better chance it has to, I don't know if it's going to be an official minor league system to the NFL, but to be incorporated in the NFL, affiliated with the NFL, and therefore you get some NFL money, and that will allow that league to subsist. When I watch it, I just think the quarterback play needs to be better. And yeah, I don't know if – I don't think that's a coaching thing. There's some big-name coaches, and there's some offensive coaches, Spurrier and Mike Riley, Mike Martz. But the little bit I've seen, I just am seeing a lot of bad quarterback play, and it's hard to watch football with bad quarterback play. So if you figure out the perfect way to make it a developmental system where maybe a guy that's, you know, on a practice squad in the NFL can then go play in this league and then go back to the offseason program. Like, I think that's what it needs to be, so there's not only more interest, but, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks, they're not going to get another chance in the NFL. But if you're a Christian Hackenberg while you're with the Giants, or you're, you know, when Derek Anderson was with the Ravens, or even Tyrod Taylor when he was with the Ravens before he got his chance, it gives these guys who aren't playing at all, but the NFL believes has NFL talent, if you give them an opportunity to play an 8- or 10-game season against pretty good competition, I think that would do wonders for this league.
I do, too. Scott, thank you very much. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com, brownzone.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.